Welcome, everyone, to RB1 : A Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. I am your humble host, Pete Rogers, and I am joined on this glorious day by some of the guys. We have the working girl, Jordan Smith, and the ginger woodsman, Nick Botterford. Guys, how are we doing today?
Doing great.
Oh, that's a track of what I was doing. I'm great. I'm really good, Pete. How are you?
I am good as well. Jordan, I want to give you just like, 30 seconds to just speak about something so we can all bask in the glory of this new mic setup you have.
Sure. There's an old desk in the garage that we used to have, like, sitting at the computer in high school doing homework. So I just dug it up and figured I might as well, since I might be here for a while, get a little setup established so I'm not just sitting in a chair or on a bed, on a couch, just in random places, because it wasn't going to be the kitchen table. So nice. Here I am.
Jordan, you are fully committed now into the podcast world. After doing this show for 4 years, you finally have bought into the podcast. You're talking about the bed, man. That was a throwback to the olden days where you would record in front of that glorious headboard you had.
Hey, at least I had a pretty good mic at that time, but I was I was holding it like I was Dirk Nowitzki at a press conference.
it looked great. Awesome. Nick, you are also looking great too. Don't worry.
Thanks, Pete.
Nick's got a lot of things going on. I like this slight delay. It's not just recording. It's just because Nick has so many different tabs and windows up. He's got to keep track of all of his future bets. He's got to keep track of all his fantasy leagues. Nick has a lot going on, you guys. He's a lot.
It was future bets. Fucking Washington gambling laws. You can't do shit out here. Nothing is legal.
Nothing is legal.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's why you need some black market under the table brokers. Yeah. I'll make some bets for you, Nick. Here you go. Give me all your money and trust me with your finances.
Yeah, I'm sure there's no interest rate on
nothing will go wrong, I promise you. All right, well, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to continue our best free agent landing spot series. We're going to talk running backs today. But before we do, of course, we have lots of news to get to. And headlining the news is what broke Saturday. Matthew Stafford traded to the Los Angeles Rams. We spent last week talking about our favorite landing spots for Matt Stafford. Rams were not mentioned, but still a great landing spot for him fantasy-wise. Basically, it was a quarterback swap. The Lions then took on Jared Goff's massive contract and Jared Goff along with a first-round pick, two first-round picks, I believe, and a third-round pick, which you might think is just a ton of compensation for Matt Stafford, but actually probably it's more to entice the Lions to be willing to take on Jared Goff's contract. But let's start with Stafford. He leaves Detroit, joins Sean McVay, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Cam Akers, Josh Reynolds, all out in LA. Jordan, trying to set expectations for Stafford, do you think this makes him a top eight, we'll say, fantasy quarterback for 2021?
I could see that being in the top eight, because I don't think he has to do a whole lot with the Rams offense. It's not like he's in Detroit anymore, where he's consistently having to put the team on his back. He definitely gets an upgrade in weapons when you're looking at who could be left over in Detroit after this free agent session. Because I think like Kenny Galladay's probably got to get himself out of there. Marvin Jones is probably looking for a better opportunity to win because he's getting up there in age. And I can see Stafford being, he's not as much of a system quarterback as Goff. I don't think he's like a drastic upgrade, but he definitely turns the tables a little bit more for the Rams if they're like, Jared Goff just happens to have bad games all the time, and that's not what you want.
Yeah, I think he could be. I think he'll definitely have top 8 weeks. I think he'll have top 4 weeks from time to time. I think I don't think there's any question that it's reasonable to rank him as like a mid to low quarterback one. QB, that's a good barometer though. He might end up there.
Yeah, so I was initially trying to see what was the range that I felt comfortable with. To me, the locks, you have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson. So that's six right there that I just don't think that he's going to, like, it would, maybe you have another, maybe Lamar's, the passing game still doesn't quite click for Lamar, and so he also falls out, or who knows where Watson goes. And then it's, to me, it seems like Rodgers, Tannehill, Herbert, and Stafford would be all kind of in that mix for kind of what's after that group. So that's seven, QB seven, QB eight. I love this. He's only thrown 30 touchdowns twice in this is Matt Stafford. He's only thrown 30 plus touchdowns twice in his career. And we put out a poll on Fake Teams on our Twitter account, Fake Teams, asking what people felt like he was going to do with the Rams. And the vast majority of people says he's going over 30 touchdowns this year. So like if Stafford does that, has a career year, this is a terrific landing spot. Obviously totally trust Sean McVay and what this offense can do. And I think we're going to see something like how Kyle Shanahan is feeling, where we're going to see hopefully this is going to be the pinnacle of Sean McVay's offense. I feel like where it's going to be a quarterback who can make all the throws on the field, a running back who is not Todd Gurley, he has this stable of running backs to choose from and run through. And then you have Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Josh Reynolds. They seem like they're going to part with Gerald Everett. So who knows what their tight end position is going to be, but man, this like Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, this is phenomenal for them in terms of fantasy. In my book, like Robert Woods has been always this kind of like low key wide receiver one who people don't necessarily treat in that category. And I think with a better quarterback like Stafford, he's now someone who's going to constantly be pushing wide receiver one numbers, and at the very least is going to be a high end wide receiver two for 2021 in my book.
I think we're bearing the lead a little bit here, Pete. How does it actually make you feel to know that Stafford said the only destination he didn't want to go was New England because he didn't want to be back with Matthew Patricia?
Yeah, the Matt Patricia reunion off to a banging start when you have Matt Stafford coming out being like, I will go to any team except for that one. It also completely has dashed my hopes that Kenny Golladay is coming to New England. I think we can firmly rule out any free agent Lions player signing with the Patriots, which is not what you want when you bring back old Matt Patricia. Not in love with it. Not great.
Luckily, there's a ton of other free agents that you can hopefully get in the room. Maybe like leave Patricia off of the like Outlook calendar invite. Just,
we totally forgot to send you the email or send him a dead link. He just keeps trying to log in for the whole 30-minute session. Oh, sorry, Matt. Oh, bummer. On the flip side, the Lions. I mean, I feel like the Lions is going to be just a hot mess this year. Nick, what do you feel with Goff coming to Detroit? Seemingly that's going to be their guy week one. I mean, they still could draft a quarterback at, you know, whatever seventh overall that they have. Is there anyone in Detroit who you're feeling particularly like? To me, it feels like this is just like buy TJ Hockenson and other than that, kind of avoid this team.
Yeah, I think this is the stocks continue to trend up for DeAndre Swift. They're, you know,
getting into Campbell, that stock market. I see, Nick, well done. It's all the rage these days. Start buying your stock now while you still can
hold the line. It was promising. So, I mean, it was deflating to hear Dan Campbell talk about the kneecap biting and that kind of shit. But then he also did stop to say that lining Swift up as a slot receiver would be a great way to use him. So he has some, I mean, he's taking some of what he learned in New Orleans and is willing to apply it here. I'm very concerned about the kind of offense they're going to run. I think it'll be kind of old school, but one, that would mean a lot of volume for Swift and theoretically. And two, Goff has had great success just loading up a running back with targets for, you know, part of his duration there before Gurley's knee exploded. That was a really viable means of him just hoarding fantasy points. So now they have Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and what have you, and the Lions, they may not have Kenny Golladay. So that might not mean, anyway, the guy I like is Swift.
Yeah. That's a good point in that passing game.
I like the Goff addition for the Lions. Not because I think he's just a great player and is going to turn the franchise around, but because he's a
Packers fan get to play against him twice a year now.
Yeah, that's exactly why. Another Kirk Cousins in the division. No, it's because it gives them like a chance to actually put some good tape down to actually compete like a little bit, not completely turn over the reins to mediocrity. So they have both hands on the reins. Only one hand of mediocrity is there. And I don't think they should draft a quarterback at number 7. I think they have just a lot of work to do. And I think any quarterback they draft at that point would have like a lot of scar tissue that would build up. It'd be like, I'm still a little bit worried for Joe Burrow. I think he will be fine eventually, but it's scary to see him in Cincinnati, especially after he just got walloped this year. And I think the same thing could happen to any quarterback going to Detroit. They should use either that pick on some linemen or use it on like somebody on defense to get a cornerstone piece going there. Build up the infrastructure, then bring in a quarterback. Maybe next year, maybe when those Rams picks finally start kicking in, because I don't even know when they are for 2027. Like, I don't even know.
When do the Rams have first round picks?
They got them in the next. Well, when do the Rams have first round picks, or when do the Lions?
When do the Lions have the Rams, and then when do the Rams have first round picks?
They got first round in 2022 or the next draft. Not the one that is about to happen, the following one, and then the one after that. They get their first in both of those. So they have the picks to make this turnaround happen. Whether or not we have any belief in the front office is a totally different question. But I mean, the infrastructure is there. And if anything, if one of those top three quarterbacks falls, I think you do take him because you have Goff. You can let him sit on the bench, not have to play him while, you know, I mean, it's not necessarily the most cost-effective means of building a team, but first you got to get the quarterback, period. Like if you don't have Goff's impending replacement, you're in deep shit. But I think an offensive line, you know, if they can get an impact offensive lineman or a receiver, then that would go. Like if Jamar Chase goes there, if he's still available, I would for sure pull the trigger. Like bring in the pieces that are going to directly impact the future quarterback if you're not going to get one.
All right, moving on in the news. More good news for Jordan's Packers, because reports coming out that Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears are expected to part ways, which means Nick Foles starting QB for the Bears in 2021. Dan Cilio, who reported this, said that the Cowboys and Broncos both expressed interest, which means Jerry 100% is going to talk himself into Mitch being better than Dak and is going to shell out a shit ton of money to bring Mitch into house. Granted, this is the same guy who brought you this Dan Cilio guy, who's brought you such hits as Tom Brady is going to the Cowboys and Robert Kraft is promoting Belichick to full-time GM and then trading for Mike Vrabel at head coach. So take this report with a grain of salt, but it seems like the Mitch era in Chicago has finally come to an end, as well it should. Let's be honest here.
Why are you saying good news? This is terrible news. I want Mitch to have a long career in Chicago.
Yeah, if I'm a Bears fan, I would much prefer Foles.
If I was a Bears fan, I'd much prefer anyone on the open market than either of those two guys. Go get Cam Newton.
Sure.
Go get anyone who can throw the ball competently.
Build it anyway. Front office, do that first. But yeah,
do that first. Finally, it is time for the latest Eric Bieniemy Watch 2021. Eric Bieniemy didn't get a head coaching gig because the NFL is dumb and stupid. So there you go. There's your final Eric Bieniemy Watch 2021. What are we doing, NFL? What are we doing? Here's the hoping that he's going to somehow do the horizontal jump to the Dolphins OC job and coach up Deshaun Watson. Will it happen? Highly doubtful. But, you know, a kid can dream, can't he? I can. Nick gives me his non-verbal consent that I can.
I suggested that last podcast. So I know. Obviously, I would love that for that to happen. I mean, the word on the street or what have you is that he just interviews really badly. And I don't know how.
Which, okay, I'm sorry. That can't be a thing, because did you guys see the fucking interview with the new Eagles head coach? Whatever his name is. Where he comes Sirianni. On. Yeah, where he comes on and he's like, we're going to be a smart team. And the important thing about being smart is we're going to be smart and a team.
We're going to be a smart team. In a costume.
What are we doing here? God, yeah. Like, you can't.
I trust him.
I mean, I'm sure he's a good coach, but this is my point, is that, like, yes, he's a good coach, but clearly his ability to put together sentences didn't prevent him from getting hired. If right. Eric Bieniemy truly, if like that is truly the reason why he didn't get hired, was because he just doesn't interview well, like, okay, NFL, grow up.
Yeah, I think we all know what doesn't interview well actually means, Darren. And it's a systemic problem with not having enough Black coaches, Black executives in positions to make these sorts of decisions. That's why you kind of just get the same retreads. You get the same, like, Josh McDaniels, his name is tossed out every coaching cycle, even though he completely bailed on the Colts' head coaching job. Like, that's a bad interview for you, but he's still in the hiring.
Good. You should never get a head coaching gig ever again, or not even an interview, if after you, like, verbally agree to go to a team, you then bail. That should just blacklist you for the end of time. But yet, Josh McDaniels was interviewed for the Eagles head coach. Eagles, doing a great job. Howie Roseman, you're killing it. Killing it. Love everything you're doing out there. All right, there's the news. Before we get into our ideal fantasy running back landing spots, we're going to take a quick ad break. All right, we're back. Last week, we talked ideal QB spots, and this week, we're going to tackle the running back position. There actually are a surprising number of backs out there on the market with a real fantasy potential, depending on where they land, but we're just going to touch on a few of them. Let's start with the biggest name in my book in the free agent running back market, and that is, of course, Jordan's Green Bay Packers, Aaron Jones. Jordan, let's start with you. Where is your ideal landing spot for Aaron Jones? And if you say the Packers, I might mute you.
I mean, that would be nice at a reasonable sticker price, but I don't think they should pay him too much if he's seeking a lot of money. I picked the New York Jets, though. And this seems a little bit of a cop-out because the New York Jets have done a lot of dumb things in terms of providing contracts that are ridiculous, but putting him on the Jets, they have a lot of cap space. They got this, like, foundations of a pretty good offensive line with Mekhi Becton just mauling people over there, and the Robert Saleh, Mike Shanahan tree connection. Mike LaFleur also. I think they'll be running, like, similar offenses to what you see in San Francisco, Green Bay, that sort of thing. So I put them on the Jets, and if they don't have Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson would be great for taking pressure off of Aaron Jones. But if they draft a rookie QB, then that's a safety blanket, and it's also a ton of opportunity for Jones either way.
Yeah, I had the Jets as well, because it makes total sense to have Aaron Jones go from Mike LaFleur to Matt LaFleur, or other way around, Matt LaFleur to Mike LaFleur. Quick PSA, parents out there, if you are naming children, especially if these children are going to go into the same field of work, please name them drastically different names. Just for my own, like, sanity and benefit, please. Just, you know, Mike and Matt, can we be like Matt and Bob? Bob LaFleur, it's got a nice ring to it. It's a good coach name. Mike, we're redubbing you. You're Bob LaFleur from now on. So anyways, everything you said, Jordan, I totally agree with, where they're going to presumably be running a Kyle Shanahan-esque system, and Aaron Jones thrived in that in Green Bay. And putting him in New York, where that offensive line is developing, he's going to be the clear number one back in that offense, and that seems like an ideal fantasy spot. And We know that the Jets will shell out a ton of money for running backs, so it seems like a natural fit. Nick, what about you?
Yeah, I think that the Jets, assuming that they get a good quarterback, I think that would be a really fun place for them to go. To the point about Jones's price tag, from what Nagler has had to say, is that there's no real issue between Jones and the team on the overall amount of money. It's just they won't match his guarantee request. That's the big sticking point. But I mean, that's what I heard last week. So maybe there's new info. I think the favorite for me would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of their backfield is made up of kind of like role players. I mean, I'm looking right now. So Fournette, his contract's up. LeSean McCoy, his contract's up. Kenyon Barner's still there.
I mean, LeSean McCoy isn't going to be the future of the Buccaneers backfield. I'm so upset. This is so crushing to hear.
I mean, after Ronald Jones's calves couldn't propel him past Leonard Fournette this year, I have to think that they're kind of just done and dealing with him. Arians really doesn't give a shit about who he plays if they're just outplaying the other person. Like that's been consistent throughout his coaching career. If you look at Arizona, the way that was it Michael Floyd and John Brown would, he talked every other week about how the other guy just took the other starter's job at receiver. If they brought in a real dual threat talent like Aaron Jones, I think he would have no problem separating from the pack. And I even forgot to mention Keyshawn Vaughn. I mean, dude, how much do you have to struggle to lose your pass catching role to Leonard Fournette? I mean, that's a really bad way to start your career. He could turn it around, but obviously Arians is not afraid to pay a running back. I mean, he really, they have, I was looking at their pass to run ratio, and it's, I mean, they love running on early downs. That's Arians loves doing it. I think if they could get Aaron Jones in there, that he would be a good system, good system fit.
That's a great spot, especially since they're probably, I mean, presumably Brady is going to play at least one more year there. And that means you're going to get not only if the ground game can improve, that's a big factor, but also just Aaron Jones as a pass catcher. That's something that, like, Leonard Fournette was forced into that role, and his stone head hands let Brady down countless times. And so putting a back who can actually catch the football naturally with someone like Brady, who loves targeting those running backs in this offense that, you know, Brady has forced that to be a part of the offense, it seems like a really natural pairing. I like that a lot, especially since, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. And we're going to give a little Super Bowl preview at the end of this, but like, if the Bucks lose the Super Bowl, then I could certainly see another instance of the Bucks doubling down and being like, okay, we have Brady for a limited window. We're going to go out. We're going to get him, you know, a real running back to really be that final key to this offense and make this offense just unstoppable. Since I've heard talks, they're also bringing Antonio Brown. La, 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 la. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The Bucks have a little bit of cap space. I gave them a running back as well from this free agent class, just to bolster all the other weapons that they have on offense, depending on who they let go. But I think Aaron Jones could be like a more like supercharged James White for Brady. I think he would very much enjoy that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. All right, let's move on to a running back who, when he got traded to Arizona, was off like a start. And then this year was kind of off and on, hit or miss, still somehow recorded 10 rushing touchdowns. So Kenyon Drake has some kick to him, now hitting the open market. Nick, where's your ideal landing spot for Drake for 2021 fantasy?
Part of this is narrative, but I think it's Miami. It'd be great for him to go back there and just shit on that former coaching staff, shit on Adam Gase, have a great year. There's not a whole lot of competition there. So Breida is, he's a free agent. He's a free agent this year. They've got, and DeAndre Washington is as well. They have Myles Gaskin, and Gaskin showed that he can be a great, you know, starting running back in the NFL. He is, he's undersized, and he's not terribly unique as an athlete. The MCL sprain that he suffered was way more significant than the standard, like, grade one MCL sprain, which I think, you know, he's just a smaller guy, and he was asked to handle 20 touches a game. I think if they brought Drake in there and split it even like 15 to 15 touches or something like that, they would they'd have a much more effective backfield on their hands with two guys who can take the pressure off of each other. And they obviously showed Gaskin was leading the team in targets in like half of Tua's starts. So they're going to utilize Drake would get to go back down there and be utilized in the way that he was very briefly in Arizona last year before, you know, Cliff Kingsbury decided to say, no, you're the rush only back and Edmonds is the passing game back. Yeah. It'd be really fun to watch him down there.
Yeah. I like that. I like the narrative. I have a different back going to the Dolphins later, but the Dolphins seem like a ripe fantasy spot for one of these running backs to go to, because there is so much potential in that backfield. Miles Gaskin seems like the only really sure thing there. And even still, he's someone who you could easily share a backfield with and still have a lot of fantasy viability there. Jordan, where are you like Drake?
You know, honestly, I was having a really hard time placing Kenyon Drake because I just wasn't sure how much a team would be willing to pay him to make him like the number one option, number one fantasy option for the rest of us. I couldn't help but think he would be a good fit in New England. New England has some cap
Jordan, space. I like this. I like how you keep bringing up the Patriots and all of your, you have at least one player going to the Patriots. You're building this great offense for me to root for next year with Dak Prescott and Kenyon Drake in the backfield. Love it.
They got money to spend, and you know, the drafts have been rough for a couple of years. So maybe free agency is the real market for them. I think I just associate Drake with New England too, because literally a couple years ago when he like kind of had that breakout game when he was on Miami against New England, I feel like maybe at some point Belichick just logged that into his catalog of football memories and could look at Kenyon Drake because James White isn't getting any younger. Damian Harris, that's his name, right? Damian Harris. He was doing pretty well. Sony Michel is Sony Michel. So maybe just bringing in an export and having him take over some key running back duties for the Patriots would be good for them.
Yes. So I'm not sure if you touched on this, Jordan, but both Burkhead and James White are free agents this year.
Oh yeah. That's probably a big factor in them bringing in a running back. They always also seem to bring in like distressed running back assets from.
They do. They love teams to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like
Drake would qualify a little bit.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Especially if they can get him at kind of a discount. Jordan, let me repay the favor and say, I had Kenyon Drake going to the Packers. I see him as a cheaper, a bigger, a slightly less talented Aaron Jones. He can return, like Nick said, in Miami, return to catching the football out of the backfield like he did in 2019 for the Cardinals. And I think in this instance where you can pair him with A.J. Dillon, and if they bring back Jamal Williams, like the Packers want to have this kind of running back committee with a hierarchy in it, but not necessarily a number one guy. And so I think that's environment that Drake can really work and thrive in. He'll get plenty of snaps, plenty of touches in that offense in order to produce. I think he would be, you know, the 1A to AJ Dillon or Jamal Williams, like what we saw with Aaron Jones. It seems to me like a natural kind of place where if the Packers let Aaron Jones go, don't want to pay him top dollar, Drake seems like a natural fit to kind of be able to still play that role that Jones played for the Packers, but maybe at a little slight discount.
I wouldn't mind that at the right price, just because if they lose Aaron Jones to free agency and Jamal Williams is also a free agent, then the cupboard's a little more bare than I'm sure a LaFleur offense would like. So it could be interesting.
All right. Let's continue down the running back avenue. A guy who I'm actually really interested about in this offseason, because I think this offseason could really do a lot for him. James Conner has shown flashes, but he's also shown that he has struggles to stay healthy and that he can't, it didn't seem like he could ever quite take over reliably that RB1 role in Pittsburgh. So for me, I figure let's find a best landing spot for both him and let's help another fantasy asset who maybe has a little bit of injury issues or just can't carry the full load. What do we think about James Conner heading to LA to join the Chargers? For Eckler, this no longer means he's the running back in LA, helps him stay healthy for a full season. Plus, he does most of his damage as a pass catcher. And I never thought I would say this as like as a positive comparison, but basically he could be JD McKissick for the Chargers, since JD McKissick was a top 15 running back in fantasy and only really caught the football. So I think Austin Eckler could still fill that role, while James Conner can be the two down back for LA, help lighten his load, but put him in an offense that has a lot of weapons around him, so he won't be facing as much of a stacked box, and we'll see plenty of red zone work. I just think that he needs a change of space and a change of place. And I think in LA with this kind of young revitalized offense with Justin Herbert under center, I think that duo could be really dynamic. And certainly both of those guys would see enough work to be both fantasy viable.
I'll push back a touch on that. It's not an indictment of the arguments that you just made. It's more of an indictment of James Conner himself, who I'm just kind of out on for fantasy purposes now. I don't think that putting him in Los Angeles with the Chargers, unless there's like a little bit more bolstering of the offensive line, like they got a little bit better this year, but I don't know
That's how a good much point.
Better they are than Pittsburgh's offensive line. And this dude just needs like, he needs some maulers in front of him to try to keep his jersey clean. And because James Conner is just going to miss like two games at least. One of them is going to be at a completely inopportune time for your fantasy season. That's just the way it goes. So I feel like he needs to go to a team that's just stacked up front.
That's fair. Yeah, the offensive line in LA is still makeshift. Nick, what do you think? Where is a good spot for Conner?
So the Niners are going to be without, or Jerick McKinnon is a free agent, and Ooh. Tevin Coleman is a free agent. Raheem Mostert, yeah, he got his extension, and they did just re-sign Jeff Wilson Jr. I'm looking up his deal right now. It's just a one-year deal.
Yeah,
so it's not a long-term investment. They, you know, they'll get three running backs on the field regularly in any game. I think that Conner, I think he's so talented. I think his body, you know, probably never was able to fully recover from his cancer treatments. This year, I think that his missed game ness is a little bit negatively impacted or shaded with him getting COVID. Right. Like that did not
That's
help
fair.
Him close out the season. his missed time is a bit more inflated than it has been in previous seasons, just when taking into account injuries. But that said, I mean, the guy has shown that he does get banged up from time to time. But who wouldn't love to see him added to that, you know what I mean? Like a 1-2 punch with Raheem and Mostert.
Wilson. Literally the whole point of this little segment is to be like, you know, in my mind it's like, all right, if this player went to this team, would you be excited to draft him in fantasy? If James Conner went to the 49ers, I would draft him far higher than he should be drafted. Like I would just be like, oh yeah, James Conner is going to take over that backfield and it's going to be fucking incredible. And I'm going to be here for every second of it. So that's a very good landing spot.
This is just projecting too, but I think James Conner would be like a really good culture fit for the Niners. Like they have some linemen who are just absolutely wanting to find contact at all times. They have George Kittle, who is going to put you into the turf any chance he gets. And James Conner is a guy that likes to lower his shoulder. Like he's going through you, not around you. And I think that would get a lot of like people fired up on the Niners just to have him be that guy.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Also, I learned a cool thing about Zoom when I was holding that nice long note for Nick and showing of admiration for his pick. Zoom just popped on, was like, are you trying to play music? Would you like us to stream this music over your conversation? So clearly I hit some nice resonating note there that Zoom thought was a song that was about to play. Jordan, I realize as a host, I did a terrible job. When you were critiquing the Chargers, I should have used that as a natural segue into your pick for James Conner. And instead I just threw Nick in the middle and now I'm all hyped about the 49ers. So convince me that the 49ers is wrong too. And that your pick is the right one, Jordan.
Well, my pick kind of piggyback off of what I was saying earlier is just to put James Conner behind a good offensive line and a place where there might be some pressure taken off of him, so he's not getting completely battered every single Sunday. I'd put him in Tampa Bay, just as the Buccaneers have shown this past or last offseason, rather, that they just like to add weapons and names. Like, if Tom Brady likes James Conner, then that's probably going to be somebody that they sign. If Bruce Arians says that they're not going after James Conner, just know he's a damn liar and you shouldn't believe anything he ever says. So I just put him there, especially if like Leonard Fournette leaves, Ronald Jones, all the same caveats that we were just discussing before with these other running backs going to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I like that a lot too. That's a really good one. Those are three very good landing spots for James Conner. Patting ourselves on the back for coming up with all those. Well done to us. Yes, Nick is actually doing it. Good job. Good man. All right, we got two more running backs we're going to talk about. Yeah. And we will start with Chris Carson. Chris Carson of the Seattle Seahawks, who is a free agent. He might leave Seattle. And if he does leave Seattle, Nick, where would you love to see him go?
So, yeah, I do think that it's probably unlikely that he does leave with Carlos Hyde, a free agent as well. And, you know, Pete Carroll just.
But wouldn't it seem the most Pete Carroll thing in the world to be like, bye, Chris Carson, Carlos Hyde, come on down?
Oh, yeah, I could see that. I can also see him just being like, Rashad Penny will be healthy. And it doesn't matter that he's way overweight. And we will
him to carry the ball 300 times this year.
So I think Carson, I really, really liked the beginning of the season when they actually were airing it out a ton and Carson was getting like six targets a game. He showed that he's a dual threat running back. I didn't really know that he could do that, and he absolutely could. So I'd love to see him get lead back duties in Atlanta with Arthur Smith there now. I think that would be a really fun fit. He'd get 20 carries a game, and Matt Ryan, you know, he's thrown it to running backs plenty in his career. I think that'd be a really cool spot to see him.
Yeah, I like that a lot. For all the things you were talking about, Nick, too, this is my Dolphins spot. The Dolphins clearly need a number one back. He was a back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher in 2018 and 2019 and then was on pace for 900 this year. Like, Chris Carson is a very good running. I feel like somehow in this whole, like, let Russ cook, the Seahawks need to throw the football more, Chris Carson is just kind of ignored or just maybe not seen in the light that he should be. Like, this guy is a really good running back. And like you said, he can catch the ball. Tua will target the running back or Deshaun Watson if that's where he is. It just seems to give a really solid, viable running back into this backfield. And a guy who, outside of this past year, has been pretty healthy and can shoulder like the number one workload and the bulk share of touches, which he could do for both Atlanta and the Dolphins.
To your point, yeah, he doesn't get a ton of respect. And at this point, the data seems to indicate that yards per carry is basically dictated by yards before contact. Like, if you either A, have a good offensive line or B, and more importantly, you don't make a player run in really inopportune situations. Like, you don't make them slam into brick walls on early first and second downs. You let him run on third, right? Like, you throw it to him on first, you give it to him on third and short and let him rumble. His overall statistics would be much more gaudy if he was not put into bad situations.
Jordan, where's your spot for him?
My spot for him would be to throw him to a division rival and put him with the San Francisco 49ers. Just because Chris Carson is a super talented back. I think he's the second best back on this list that we're talking about pretty easily. And like you said, also that he's a back that, you know, besides a few dings, is pretty dependable. And I think that's something that based on Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, name any back that San Francisco has brought in over the past couple of years. And they honestly are probably just like, we need somebody who's going to be healthy. We want somebody who's going to come in and be a back for us that can stay on the field, so we're not consistently rolling through a carousel. And if they could get somebody like Chris Carson to be that, then that helps for fantasy purposes, because you're not deciding any given week whether you're playing Mostert, Coleman, Jeff Wilson Jr., like just a little bit of consistency there. And I think Chris Carson would be a good all-around back for Shanahan.
Yeah, I love that a lot. Plus, you got to love the staying in division and fighting against your former team. Richard Sherman. Go join Richard Sherman. Yeah, that's what I
was going to say. That'd be so fun. You're like watching them pre-game against the Seahawks. He and Sherman from one side. That'd be a lot of fun.
Love to see that shit. Love to see that. All right, well, let's wrap our running back conversation up with we have two guys who obviously were great fantasy names at one point in their career, now are just kind of lackluster. People, you don't really know what to make of them. Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell, both of them coming off of just kind of disappointing seasons in totality. Todd Gurley obviously had a really strong first half, but then kind of completely disappeared in the second half, and Le'Veon Bell got traded halfway through the season. So my question to you guys is, you can talk about either or both. Is there a landing spot for these guys, either of these guys, that would excite you in fantasy and make you feel like, okay, this guy is worth drafting or investing some sort of fantasy capital in them? Jordan, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, so I put both these guys in Dwayne Johnson's XFL. I put Le'Veon Bell in Carolina with the Panthers. I just figure they could probably get him for a vet minimum. Carolina doesn't have a ton of space right now, but with Mike Davis being a free agent as well, who performed really well this year and may garner some attention on the market himself, way more than what the Panthers would probably be willing to pay him, plus Christian McCaffrey. That's a lot of money once you're running back room. But Le'Veon Bell could probably do some similar things in their pass catching game. So yeah, just put him on the Panthers. I don't know what you would hide early. I feel like it's almost time to hang up the cleats for Todd. It's not getting any better.
Yeah, it's upsetting to see that. Carolina is not a bad one, especially since after, like, because they put so much emphasis in Christian McCaffrey, then Christian McCaffrey struggled to be healthy this year. Like I could see them investing in that backfield and that, you know, RB2 position. Nick, is there a spot for either of these guys that gives you some sort of fantasy excitement?
Well, I've been wanting Gurley to retire for like 2 years now. So for me,
Todd Gurley in the retirement league, Nick's drafting him 101, baby.
Yeah, go coach somewhere. As far as Bell goes, honestly, any of the teams that we talked about today, I think that Carolina, I think that's a lot of fun. They're probably going to want to dial back McCaffrey's workload a bit. I think after this huge missed time season, they're going to say, okay, we can't do the 90% snap share thing with him again. So that one could be a lot of fun because theoretically his skill set is the same. It's, you know, pure dual threat kind of a thing, but any of these places would be really cool. I mean, I would be interested in watching him as a rotational guy in San Francisco. I would be interested in watching him. I think a battle against Myles Gaskin would be really interesting. Is like, because Gaskin, I think that he fits the bill of NFL dual threat running back, mm-hmm. who can fill in for like any smart team. I don't think that he's a bell cow. I don't think that he should be there for like the long term, but I think that those two guys working together, I think that could be really interesting. And if Bell can beat Gaskin, then okay, he should still be a full-time starter. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. I had, Nick, you're going to love this. If Chris Carson leaves, Seattle Seahawks, you know, he's going to get a shit ton of touches and he's a pass catcher out the backfield for Russell Wilson. I don't know. I could dig it. I mean, I think you're right though, Nick. I think Bell seems the most likely of these two backs where it's like, regardless of, you know, if he goes to a backfield that needs help or there's a way for him to see a large role there, that he seems to have the most in the tank left to be able to actually produce something fantasy wise.
Were you going to say Seattle or did you get to that?
Oh yeah, I did say Seattle.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I thought the sense trailed on.
You loved it. You blacked out from sheer excitement because I said Le'Veon Bell to Seattle and Nick was like, yes,
that's right. That would be so fucking bad. I mean, Carroll has made every indication, you know, he's like, oh, they had too high. They just hit it with too high. okay, we'll learn to pass against that. Like, that doesn't mean fire your coordinator and be like, we don't know what to do. No one's ever thrown against too high. Well, anyway, yeah, no, Bell, I still, like I said, I would be interested in seeing Bell compete to find out if he's better than Myles Gaskin. That's not sign him to be a lead back and make him run against 8-man boxes.
Mick's going to love it when Pete Carroll gives Le'Veon Bell 3 years, $40 million guaranteed. Yeah, right. Let's roll, yeah, baby.
I didn't even think about the idea of a multi-year deal. I was just thinking of 1 year. That's funny. Yeah, just sink the fucking cap. And then he'll just fire another coordinator, and Seattle's going to be like, "Yep, the whole city. Yep.
Well done, Pete. That makes sense.
He wins. He's a winner.
He's a winner.
It's an intangible. He's just a winner."
Oh shit! All right. Well, before we go, quickly, there is a Super Bowl being played this weekend. Huh? Who knew? It's been rather weird. I feel like with. In the COVID era, that definitely doesn't seem to be garnering quite as much pub as in Super Bowls past has been, or maybe I'm just not paying attention to the world currently. But quickly before we go, let's just throw out our picks for the game. Jordan, let's start with you. Who's winning Super Bowl, whatever this is, 5,700?
Yeah, I'm not overthinking it. I'm just picking the Chiefs. The comparisons of Pat Mahomes to Steph Curry are a little bit played out by now, but I do think we're getting like into Warriors territory from like 2015 to 18, where it's just getting a little bit like these guys are just very good. They're a little too good.
Yeah, I do. The Steph Pat Mahomes comparison is, I feel like, one of the most apt sports comparisons out there, just because of the fact that the exact same way in either player can just catch fire and then it's just, you're just done, game over. Like, you're not fun defending that. Nick, what's your pick for the weekend?
It's the Chiefs. I was looking at the pass run ratios of the NFL through the playoffs, and they're actually the Chiefs are number two in the league at early down passing rate in the first half of games at 70%. The Bills are actually higher. They were like 72. The Bucks are totally, they're right in the middle. They're like league average. They're throwing the ball at like 57%. If they try to do that, they're going to get destroyed. I mean, Brady might be able to make a push in the second half, but if they're like, all right, let's control the clock against Patrick Mahomes, you can't do that. You have to outscore them.
They're just going to have to go toe to toe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a control the clock. It's going to be who can score the most points. I promise this isn't because Brady's on the Bucks, but I'm going to go with the Bucks simply because I do feel like what I saw the Bucks front four with Vita Vea back on passing downs looked very good. And was getting pressure on Rodgers throughout that game with just rushing four, which I think is like, you can't blitz against Patrick Mahomes. You've got to be just rush four guys and drop everyone else in coverage. And you got to be able to get pressure with those four guys. The Chiefs offensive line is banged up. They're missing Jeff Schwartz, right? They're both missing both their tackles. I can't remember if it was Jeff Schwartz or his brother who's currently
Mitchell.
Still
Mitchell.
Mitchell. There you go. Mitchell Schwartz. So they're missing both their tackles. Shaq Barrett could have a big game. JPP, Dominican Sue, and like I said, Vita Vea seemingly made a big difference in that passing game. I think it ultimately would come down to the defense. It's going to be a shootout and what defense makes the big move at the right time. So I'm going to go with the Bucks, but part of that is because yes, there's a little bit of homerism still in me. And I just, you know, Why not? Plus,
if Tom Brady wins again, I'm going to have to like turn off sports for a month. I'm just not going to be able to take it. I'm just going to sign out and go away. It's going to be so obnoxious.
Well, so what would bother? Because I would too, but I think maybe for different reasons. Why? What would be so insufferable for you, Jordan?
For me, it's like as a watcher of football, like I respect Tom Brady's greatness. I do think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. He's won a ton of Super Bowls and he's earned like the mantle, especially after the last one. But I just don't need to jam down my throat anymore as a person who is like tied into a lot of sports contact content, whether that's on social media or my TV viewing. It's just, I don't know. I don't need to hear it anymore. I already know.
So yeah, for me, like in the Seattle area, I don't think I'd be able to handle the amount of people who just, well, he was deflating footballs and maybe he was doing that in Tampa Bay too. Like the amount of like, Brady isn't good. It's just, it's so fucking insufferable. That's what would do it for me. Or I just would not be able to handle it here.
There'd be a lot of well actually going on.
Yes, a lot of
there would be. There'd be a lot so of
good weapons, and the defense was good.
There'd be so much well actually. Yeah, it'll be like a 55-51 game, and the defense will make a key sack fumble or something. And like, well, actually, the defense got the win for Brady. It's like, okay, but he also scored 55 points, so let's chill. All right, it's okay. If the Patriots do win, and the Patriots, I didn't even that, there it is. Freudian wow. slip. Freudian slip. If the Bucks do win, then for the next couple of weeks we'll be RB1 colon a movie podcast, and we'll just start talking about movies. We'll completely shift into the realm of entertainment. All right. Well, there you go. That's all we got for you this week. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and our fantasy basketball show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at Peter M. Rogers. Follow Jordan at Jordan_Smith27 and Nick at Ginger_Nick without a K. We will be back at you next week. Until then, peace.